This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, hour number two. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here on a busy Tuesday. NBA tonight, all good. We set it up inside of our Quicken Loans studio, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans apply, simply understand fully, and mortgage confidently. We'll do a lot of hoops two segments from now. Nice NBA preview, a little more tomorrow as we jump into the hoops part of the pool, which is nice. Next segment, interesting. John Mara doesn't say much, doesn't say a whole lot.
Nope.
Very conservative by nature, very much withdrawn from the headlines and the stories and the radio and the nonsense that could sometimes happen in New York, but he did weigh in on Odell Beckham Jr. You and I need to get to that coming up next segment, which we will. I know you have thoughts on that, as do I. But, Teek, it's been a little bit, but we've had him on the show before. Danny Cannell, we could talk college quarterbacks. We could talk pro quarterbacks. Matter of fact, we'll do both. And Danny is with us, CBS Sports HQ football analyst. What up, Danny? How you been, bud?
I'm fantastic, guys. Good to be on. Yeah, it's been a minute. Tiki, congratulations to your Virginia Cavaliers with a big win over Miami, which is something Florida State could not do this year. So congrats on that. They're having a nice little year.
Yeah, they are. Bronco Mendenhall starting to get things in order. The most important thing about that win, Danny, is that it was homecoming. So there was a lot of football alumni there, but there was a ton of recruits. Right, so recruits, if they come and they see a win like that, it's always a positive.
Yeah, but Danny, you got to tell them that you want to get the real recruits. You got to start paying them, right, Danny?
That's right. You got to take a page out of some of the guys who all of a sudden, Ole Miss was the best example of that,
yep.
Like 7 or 8 years ago. When
no
all of
doubt.
A sudden they're signing 5 stars. But you know what? You know what? And I feel totally comfortable in saying this. When you have Laquon Treadwell out there flashing $100 bills, like 50 of them on a camera, like taking a picture of him when he signs with Ole Miss, then I have no problem calling him out on it.
Yeah, nice. Exactly. Or pulling up in a brand new Dodge, whatever, Charger or something like that. Yeah, Danny, we talk quarterbacks a lot. You played 8-9 years in the National Football League. You know the transition from from college to the National Football League as well. Let me ask you about Tua Tagovailoa. Because we started to see this trend of athletic quarterback again, not to use the old nomaker for black quarterback, but this is really athletic quarterbacks who run these systems in college and can sometimes translate to the National Football League. Do you think he'll play on Sundays, Tua?
I do. I think he'll probably be a number one overall pick, Tiki. He's that good.
Wow.
He really is. I mean, I talked to Trent Dilfer a lot. He works with the Elite 11, and he's been telling me about him since he was in high school. So I was really paying attention to him when he signed with Alabama. And then last year, I mean, think about it. He unseated a starter who was 26-2 in Jalen Hurts. Like, that's pretty – you got to be pretty special to be making – kicking a guy out of his job that's had that much success. I mean, Jalen Hurts was the SEC Offensive Player of the Year his freshman year. And then, Tua comes in there and just knocks him right out of his spot. So he is that good. He's got the size, he's got the skill set, and he's got the smarts. The only thing I worry about him now, Tiki, is I like to see a quarterback play under duress. Like, I want to see a guy, how does he play when things aren't going well, when he has to, stand up there and make a play or bring his team from behind?
Yeah.
Alabama is so good. They're so much better than everybody else. We may not get to see that with Tua. Like, they're that good. They're, two touchdown favorites in almost everybody they play.
Yeah, you're right.
That's what I can't wait to see him get tested.
Yeah, no, he gets into these games, and it's like halftime he's sitting down. Now, he got banged up a little bit, but Coach Saban says that he's going to play. Do you think a kid like this waits an extra year and stays in college, or as soon as he's available, he comes out into the NFL?
I think he's done. I think it's kind of a shame. Like, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I've really come a long way. Like 10 years ago, I was hardcore, get your degree, stay the whole time. Like, your education matters. The money now is so big
for
that
quarterbacks,
you have
especially
to consider it you have to treat it like a business decision. Like, I thought Sam Darnold could have used another year at USC, and he's done fine. He's done a great job for the Jets. I thought he could have used another year in college at USC to develop, but you know what? The money was too good. You can't pass it up and take on the risk of, you know, potential, you know, $20 million guaranteed. So it's just too much. So now I look at a guy like Tua. He's going to have that type of hype. He's going to be a top pick in the draft. He's got to come out when he can.
Don't disagree, by the way. Yeah. I think anybody, it's easy to sit in the tower and say, oh, you know, make sure you get that degree. Hey, listen, if you could get $35 million guaranteed and set up three or four generations.
From jump.
You don't be not to do that.
And
come
then, on. And potentially 100 more down the line.
Yeah, common sense. Let's let common sense win over on occasion, right? Danny Cannell's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. There's a lot of names out there. We had Ryan Finley on the show the other day. We watched Greer play. Will Greer play on a weekly basis? Herbert, of course, from Oregon. Locke from Browning. There's a lot of quarterbacks, too, of course, that we just started with. How many of the quarterbacks on Saturday, not will make the NFL, but who do you see as like possibly transcendent or at the bare minimum solid franchise quarterbacks on Sundays? How many?
So draft eligible this year, there's only a couple. Like I think Tua is going to be one that you talk about, like Andrew Luck, like that's number one overall that everybody's trying to, you know, get that pick, and they might even trade up and make moves.
Okay.
This past year's class was really strong, and it's, you know, proven out as, you know, four out of the five are starting, and Lamar Jackson's on a pretty good team, and he's contributing in spots for the Ravens. This class, not as strong. And I would say for the guy that's coming out, Justin Herbert from Oregon, I think he's the one that's going to be this year's Josh Allen, because he's got the same similar skill set. He's 6'6", he's big, he's got the prototypical NFL-style arm, he's mobile. And to your thing, Tiki, earlier, we were saying about quarterbacks, you know, are they athletic, are they mobile? That is the way the NFL is moving.
Oh, it's
like,
going
you have
there.
To be. Like, that's the standard now. Like, guys like Eli and Peyton and
Flacco,
Tom Brady, those guys are going to be dinosaurs the more, like, in 10 years. They won't even be playing in the game. Yeah. So all these guys I'm talking about fit the bill of the new quarterback.
Hold on. Let me back up real quick, Danny. You're talking about Herbert. And you say comparing him to Josh Allen. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Is it a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, no. So here's where it is. This is where the comparison
comes
from.
I was going to ask the same thing.
I think the raw talent. Like, I don't think he's as polished as a guy like Sam Darnold or even Baker Mayfield. He's been hurt his career at Oregon, so he doesn't have as many reps as you would like to see.
Yeah.
But I think that's where he does compare to Josh Allen, because he's going to have the big arm. He's going to have the athleticism. But does he have the consistency over time? I don't know. And to be honest with you, I think the way that he plays these last seven or eight, you know, games for Oregon, if he can win a Pac-12 and show me something this year, then I'm like, all right, I don't have those concerns. But up to this point, he's been a little bit up and down, a little bit spotty as far as durability.
Yeah, no, that's a big point. You can't have a guy who's going to be hurt. You know, you're in a tub in college, you're going to be in the tub in the National Football League. Hey, Danny, you mentioned also about this evolution of offensive coordinators, really, in the National Football League. You see it with McVay and Andy Reid, even though he's much older and much more seasoned, is doing these type of things as well. The illusion of complexity, as I like to tell BT often, is what we're starting to
get. Makes him sound smart, you know what I mean, Danny?
No, it's not my word. This is what Sean McVay told Ronde. He was like, dude, I give the illusion of complexity. We move around. We're not really doing anything.
Just fooling him.
We're running jet sweeps 15 times a game. Maybe not, but like 10 times a game we're running jet sweeps. We're just making it look different. As this starts to take over the National Football League, and you talk about how quarterbacks are changing, you know, how does this affect, you know, the game? It's going to feel like college, but is that a good thing?
Well, that's a lot of those concepts that you're referring to, concepts that Andy Reid is implementing and Sean McVay and Doug Peterson in Philly. They are taken from the college game. And I think the NFL is – I was really worried about the NFL a year ago, just from a fan, you know, interest, some of the controversy swirling around it, but also the product in the field was getting a little iffy. Like, you saw some really bad quarterback play. All of a sudden, and I think this was I don't think this was intentional from the NFL – but with the new rules to the quarterback, you know, specifically protecting them so much, with the rules with the helmet-to-helmet contact on the defensive side of the ball, you are seeing an offensive revolution like we've never seen before. Yeah. Like, across the board, you're going to see higher stats than we've ever seen before. You know, total passing yards in the season, total touchdown passes, yards per attempt. All these numbers are going to be skyrocketing, And it's because the guys can run around there and they can, you know, receivers can fly over across the middle of the field. They don't have to worry about getting hit. Quarterbacks can stand in the pocket. If you touch them, they're going to get penalized. So basically what the NFL is evolving into is the NBA on grass. Like, it's spread out. It's run around. It's just every go of the time you go out there and you score. And I don't think the NFL intended it to be this much offense. But I think what they're realizing is that it's really entertaining. Like, why do you think the NBA is all of a sudden so popular with young people?
Yeah.
It's because the game is spread out. It's three-pointers. It's run and gun. And there's a lot of offense. You're seeing the same thing in the NFL. And that's, I think, a direct correlation with why the ratings are up. Like, you're getting these fantastic – look at the last two nights alone. Last night, the matchup looked pretty sorry on paper.
Yep.
All of a sudden, you get C.J. Beathard going out there toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers. It's a great matchup. Sunday Night Football – you had that epic matchup between Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady, toe-to-toe, 43-40. Like, that was an awesome matchup. I think the NFL has lucked into something that might actually save it.
Yeah, it's definitely a winning model. Danny Cannell, by the way, with us here on Tiki and Tierney. It's a winning model. Personally, I wish there was a little more balanced defense versus offense, but it's a winning model. You can't argue with the ratings.
I'm with you. I think there's something to be said about – like being able to knock a quarterback from the game. And I'm not saying like dirty, but I'm saying like hit him enough where he starts thinking about it.
Yep.
And a part of that in me is the old quarterback in me that's like, man, I'm kind of jealous of these guys. They don't get touched. Like, yeah, it'd be kind of easy to put up these numbers. That's a part of me. But, you know, I think it was like kind of a survival recipe for the NFL. They're saying, look, we're dealing with concussion issues. We've got nobody wants to play. Parents are scared of the game.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we're looking at it totally different.
Listen, it's infiltrated every sport. When Buster Posey's ankle got snapped at home plate a couple of years back, you can't collide. I know you played baseball. Can't collide into the catcher. Nobody throws up and in. If you do, you get thrown out of the game. There's not even warnings. Double play.
CeCe hit the guy on the ass and got thrown out of the game.
It's despicable.
He's like, come on, dude.
It's crazy.
Unbelievable.
I know. You can't break up double plays. There's no hard fouls in the NBA. It is what it is. But I do have a question. As much as we position the league as this open, you know, offensive attack, it's kind of ironic that Derek Carr is getting worse when many of his peers are getting better. Number one, what is happening to Derek Carr? And number two, is it salvageable in Oakland?
Man, I tell you what. I wasn't real worried about John Gruden from a play-calling perspective, because he's been in the broadcast booth for 10 years, but haven't seen him up close when I was at ESPN. Like, he still prepared for games like he was a coach. Like, he would still wake up at 4 a.m. and study extra film.
Jeez.
And break down film, like, as intensely as he did as a coach.
Uh-huh.
My biggest concern for Gruden was his style of coaching, and that his – because he's basically a generation removed from the game. When you're not in the locker room for 10 years – it has changed a lot. Players are more selfish now than they've ever been. They're softer than they've ever been. They want to be coddled, and they don't like to be disciplined. They don't like to be chewed out. And that was my biggest concern. And I think Gruden has lost touch. Needs to adjust. And I'm saying just about him specifically before I even get to Derek Carr, because
yep.
I think the way he's handled Derek Carr is a little bit confusing to me. Like, they are married to one another, whether he realizes it or not, because of Derek Carr's contract.
Mm-hmm.
In the past couple weeks, he's done it twice already where he's called him out publicly in the press, and that doesn't play well in today's locker room. Even if it's just your quarterback, I'm sure it doesn't play well with Derek Carr, but I'm sure it doesn't play well with those other players in that locker room. And then you've got Derek Carr, who I think is struggling with his confidence. He's always struggled playing under pressure, like physical pressure, like when you actually hit him. And I think now you're starting to see him struggle with a little bit of a crisis of confidence that he's struggling with. And the big problem, I think, for Gruden, if you watch them play against Seattle this weekend, I think he's lost the locker room.
Already?
And I think you see a bunch of guys who are out there going through the motions. And I think that's why he's shopping all these names on the trade block, is he's trying to send a message. But I think he's going around about it the old school way of, hey, if you don't fall in line, I'm going to ship you out of here. And with the salary cap, you don't have that luxury. Players have more power, and they're not as expendable as they used to be. I think Gruden's got a big problem on his hands this year. The question is, can he turn it around? And I think he's going to have to make some adjustments, similar to what Coughlin did with the Giants.
Yeah.
He kind of changed a little bit and softened up. I think Gruden has to do that somewhat, too.
Oh, that's something to really chew on. Good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been critical, but to hear it from a former quarterback is interesting. That's a strange relationship so far.
But, Danny, just so you know, Coughlin shipped out a lot of people the first couple of years. The first 2 years, it was like 40% gone.
It takes so it's not just a year, you mean.
Yeah, and then he changed after after the third year, I should say.
And I think that's probably what's going to happen with the Raiders, because I think it'll take a while. I mean, Gruden and most coaches are. They're stubborn.
Yep.
He's going to try to make it work his way. But as you're seeing, the results just aren't there. And I think when it'll probably come is when they move to Vegas. Because maybe they're inadvertently going to tank and they're going to luck themselves into some high draft picks.
Danny Cannell, CBS Sports HQ football analyst, former quarterback. Danny, good stuff, man. Appreciate you waiting. Thanks for hopping on.
Great catching up with you guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Be good, Danny.
You got it. Danny Cannell.
That's my minute coming up in about 20 minutes.
Danny Cannell. You're going to write a minute on Danny Cannell?
No, the Raiders are tanking. Seriously.
Strange.
That's what's happening.
He's stealing money right now.
No, he doesn't like this team. He wants it how he wants it. And it's not going to happen with Reggie at the helm. So the only way he's going to get there is just, we'll get to it.
I think he's also lowering expectations to make himself seem like the hero when they rebuild from 2-14, which is what they might have to do.
I think he hates the personnel on this team.
Well, then why'd he take the job?
Because he's got $100 million.
No, that's the rhetorical part of the question.
What did I ask Gary Myers? How about them Cowboys, new book he wrote? Why did Parcells leave the Giants and then ultimately go to the Dallas Cowboys?
Checkbook. I got you. All right, coming up, speaking of Coughlin, you mentioned that transition a couple of years back, and maybe Gruden's got to go through the same thing. The current Giants, their owner, John Mara, interesting take on Odell Beckham Jr. Giant got issues. We'll talk about that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show. Quick way to save a little money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance here. So NBA starts tonight. Couple of games for you. Next segment, Tiki and I are going to dive really deep into the NBA. LeBron, what our expectations are for him. Top storylines. If you want to talk some hoops, get it now. 855-212-4227. Short segment here. We'll get into what John Mara said. Matter of fact, I want to play this. This was at the owner's meeting. John Mara, critical of Odell Beckham Jr.'s outbursts, or however you want to position it. His certainly the interview with ESPN and the theatrics on the sideline last week with the cooling fan. So here's Mara, and then we can flush through this here on Tiki and Tierney. Go ahead, guys.
I wish he would create the headlines by his play on the field as opposed to what he says and does off the field. I think he needs to do a little more playing, a little less talking. I'm still embarrassed being 1-5. I mean, I can't stand up here and make any excuses about that. You are what your record says you are, as a wise man once said, and nothing I can say to make people feel better about that. I'm suffering just as much as our fans are.
Okay. Listen, I'm long on the record. I think the Giants are a mess right now, and I think that they could be there for a while. You hear this. What do you hear? Mm-hmm. You played for John.
Yeah. It's interesting because the Maras, for most of my career, it was Wellington. Never spoke ever at the practice to teams or anything. And the only time that he did was at the end of the – only time I remember really coming into a meeting was at the end of the 2003 season, I believe it was. We knew Coach Coughlin was – or Coach Fossil was on his way out. Didn't know who the new coach was going to be. Ultimately, it was Coach Coughlin. And Wellington came in, and I've told you this story. Maybe I've said it on air, maybe I haven't, where he said, look to your right, look to your left, like two of you aren't going to be here type of thing.
Yep.
And it was like, man, when a guy who never speaks comes down and says that, you start paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And a reckoning needed to happen. And as I mentioned with Danny Cannell, on his way out, when Coach Coughlin came in, a significant portion of that roster got made over. You know, it was 30-40%. Guys leaving and going and being released and not buying in. And so I think John is in that same situation right now. And I know John, obviously, from being there for as long as I have been, and he wouldn't say something like this unless it was really bothering him.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that this is bothering him. Not only the 1-5 record, but the fact that it's being – that Odell's methods of communicating his frustration, is the best way to put it, are becoming bigger than the issues that are actually facing this team. And that's why it's bad, because it's making Odell's issues bigger than the team's issues, which are not actually – it's not actually the case.
I think one of the inherent issues here for the Giants, the next – with Shurmur, the next coach after that in 5 years, in 10 years, in 2 years, whatever, is that as long as Odell Beckham Jr. is here, Odell Beckham Jr. has this desire to not only be a great football player, but he wants to be he wants to have a worldwide cachet. He wants to transcend certainly football, and he wants to be a star in the mainstream sense.
Yes.
And that's okay. That's fine. LeBron James struggles that very well, very adept at that. Others, you know, Kobe did that as well. Others have done that. Others have tried and failed. Odell Beckham Jr. has not yet found that speed that will allow him to do both.
Yeah, it's a balance.
It's a balance. And quite frankly, Teague, I don't know that he ever will. I don't know. And we can waste 20 minutes on Odell. That's going to resolve itself.
Well, I mean,
Eventually, it doesn't matter what we say.
It comes, agreed.
You know what I mean? But
the biggest thing that can happen is the Giants start having success. If the Giants are winning, and let's say Odell doesn't have a touchdown, right? I mean, he has one now, but you know what I mean. Say he finishes the season with three touchdowns, but
Julio Jones last year.
Yeah, but the Giants flip it around. Well, all of a sudden, they win 10 straight, and it's like, man, look at this New York Giants team. But Odell isn't doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he'll still be frustrated. He'll still be banging his head because, as you mentioned,
after the Barkley touchdown,
he's upset. I don't know.
He's distracted enough to not celebrate.
It was an odd look.
It was a bad look.
Right? So that's still going to be there. We're just not going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because winning.
But why would that still be there? Isn't that a problem in itself?
Because he's not being fulfilled. You know what I mean?
That's
he's not getting touches.
That's a big problem.
Now the thing that I would be interested to see, and I don't know the answer to this, BT, is if Odell was balling.
Mm-hmm.
Say he has six touchdowns on the season.
I know where you're going. Right? And the Giants are still losing.
And they're still 1-5.
I know what you mean.
Right?
It's a great question.
What would his actions be? Because not a lot, but there was some points in my career. And I remember hearing this from fans, like, man, you're the only reason we're coming. You know, you had 120 yards, but we lost, you know. But, man, you were great. Right? So it makes you feel good, but it's empty feel good.
Feel good if you're built to be a team-oriented person.
Agreed.
If you're not, and I'm independent of Odell.
And that's why I asked that question.
That's a great question.
And I don't know.
If he rips off a 179 and he goes for two touchdowns and he has 11 catches and the Giants lose 40-35, is Odell happy or is Odell distraught with the loss?
Yes.
I don't know the answer, but I fear it might be that he's happy.
Yeah.
I fear that he might be more okay with that than actually the exact opposite.
I would
winning
hope not.
And not being as involved or paramount to the success.
I would hope not.
I hope not too, but because indication is that that's the way he's built.
I hear you. I kind of believe, though, if those numbers were happening,
that they would win.
That they would be winning.
I hear you, but there's a lot of hypotheticals to that part of it.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll do this. And this is, again, not a referendum on Eli. I wrote that a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see Eli get dragged through this nonsense. And it's starting to get a little traction here in New York. I don't know that it's as national, but I really almost wish that they would consent to trading Eli if they had his consent. Mm-hmm. Like, have a conversation. You know Eli's not going to go tweet about it. Have a heart-to-heart, Eli. You know we're a mess. Mm-hmm. We're not going to the papers with this.
Yeah.
This will never leave our office. Your agent knows about it, and you know about it.
No way that's happening, though. Eli's a Giant for life.
Okay, well, then the Giants will not win for 2 years at minimum until they disconnect themselves and divorce themselves with Eli. It's not good enough.
But
and it seems like these guys don't even want to play with him.
No, I think they would if he could keep them happy. And that's the problem. And that's not all Eli's fault.
I know it's not.
It's partly his fault, but it's not all his fault.
I understand that. But Odell had a chance to dispel that with that interview with Josina and Lil Wayne, and he did anything but stamp approval for Eli. That said all I needed to hear. He don't want to play with Eli. I don't think he thinks he's good enough. And here's the problem, and it's sad, and I hate that Eli's going to go through this as much as I've been critical. He just doesn't have that juice that he used to have because the guys that he won the championships with are gone.
Yeah.
Now he just resembles an old decaying figure within a youthful group of players who want to get theirs. And he's not equipped, based on the line malfunction and his inability to move, to get them theirs.
Yeah.
And they want to get theirs.
Yeah.
Problems.
We talk about the Lakers' odd construction. The Giants have an odd one, too.
They do. Yeah. They do. They bet that Eli had more, that they fixed the O-line, and they were wrong. And now they're picking up the pieces. Speaking of LeBron, Teak, let's get some hoops coming up next here. So we'll reset the poll question. Talk about why Teak and I do not think LeBron James will win a championship with the Lakers. Donut. Zip. Put the camera on Teak. He's got the donut on as well. Zippo. Nothing. Nada. Zero.
They already cut the shot.
Oh, they cut the shot already?
They took my camera.
cut him out.
Gave it to
Ari, now you're back. Get it up there. Zero for LeBron. Maybe we'll be wrong, but that's our opinion. We'll tell you why, and we'll bounce around some other NBA issues after Jay's update right now. Here's Jay. We'll get some hoops here on the show. Tiki and Tierney, NBA begins tonight. First up, though, time for Player of the Week report brought to you by Granger. We take a look at the one who got it done, A-Rodg, Aaron Rodgers. Packers quarterback threw for 425 and a couple of touchdowns last night, including a fourth quarter comeback. We've seen that before as he leads the Pack to a 33-30 win over the Niners. Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Granger's got you back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Granger.com.
I'm glad you said A-Rodg.
A-Rodg.
As opposed to A-Rod.
Hey.
Everybody says A-Rod. I'm like, it's not A-Rod.
I'm not everybody.
I know.
You know what I mean? His name is Rodgers.
Exactly.
Not Rodriguez.
Exactly.
You know?
It's Rod.
I get it. A-Rodg. Listen, I don't believe that people are as excited as I am about the NBA returning in the middle of October. I get that. I'm a little on the other end of the enthusiastic curve. That needle is. I love it. I am a basketball junkie. I always have been. I always will be. I think this has a chance to be an epic season for a multitude of reasons, not just LeBron with the Lakers. But, you know, we're in the midst of, you know, dynasties are rare. I mean, you know, they really are rare. It's like this mythical thing that occurred back in the 60s, you know, with the Celtics or the Yankees in the late 90s or the Steelers in the 70s. It's very rare to get what we're staring at with the Warriors. And then you mix in all the young studs, whether it's Simmons, whether it's Embiid, whether it's Porzingis, whether it's Mitchell for the Utah Jazz when KP gets back.
Mm-hmm.
Mitchell, all these young players, it's just, and the Greek Freak, there's teams on the rise. The NBA is fast. The NBA is young. The NBA is interesting.
Well, it's easy to make a team relevant. Maybe not championship relevant, but it's easy to make a team relevant by adding some stars, in regardless of what your previous record was. Like the Dallas Mavericks are the perfect example. I was asking BT about Luka Doncic, we were sitting in the newsroom earlier, and he looks like a forward.
He does.
He's big. He's thick. He's not fast-footed.
Nope.
But he's so good at dishing the ball. Mm-hmm. I was just watching all of his highlights from the preseason with Dennis Smith, who is now there. And
he's got to learn how to shoot a little bit better. He's got to become more efficient, Dennis Smith.
I agreed, but...
And I'm not so sure that he will.
But you watch the Dallas Mavericks, and look, they're going to stink probably, but still... You watch them; they're interesting because of some of the players
and their coach. Carlisle is a great. I think he's a great coach.
I 100% agree with you, BT. And then the Suns. Now the Suns are somewhat on the come, but DeAndre Ayton's there now.
Yeah.
Devin Booker. Like every team, it seems like has at least two guys mm-hmm. that you're going to look at and say, hey, these two guys are potential to be special together.
Yeah,
right. Whether it's the Raptors now with Kawhi or. Any of the teams, even the Cavaliers, who are as bad as they are.
I'm going to divorce you from that. I mean, you keep singing the praises of the Cavaliers.
They're intriguing.
You can keep
me.
The Cavaliers. I think they're going to be so boring this
gonna
year.
They're going to stink, but they're intriguing to me.
Why? What's so intriguing about them?
First of all, Kevin Love.
If Kevin Love's the best player on your team, and I like Kevin Love.
I agree.
You're going nowhere.
I'm not saying he's the best player, but if he's...
I think he is,
Kevin
though.
Love
that's kind of the problem.
Well, Sexton's there. And
he's a rookie.
I know he's a rookie, but sometimes rookies just get it.
That's fair. Mitchell did last year, away. That's true.
Did.
That's true.
Tatum. Tatum did as well. So, I mean, they're just interesting, at least for a few weeks in the early part of the season.
Give him a few weeks, and then we'll bury him.
Yeah, the East is so strong. Relatively speaking.
Yeah. No, the East is certainly
against itself. It's strong.
No, it's not a lazy narrative. You can't just say the West is infinitely better than the East.
No.
I don't think that's true
anymore.
The West
is top heavy, BT. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of teams in the West you're like, champion, potential champion.
Yep.
The rest you're like, well, maybe not, probably not. The East, against themselves, it's very competitive, right? Ooh, whereas in the West, I feel like it's going to be more of a Warriors game, a Rockets game. Mm-hmm. You're no longer talking about the San Antonio Spurs per se.
No.
And so it's those two at the top, and then it falls off a little bit unless we get surprised by some of those teams. We're in the East. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Celtics are going to be good. The 76ers are going to be good. The Raptors are going to be good. The Wizards are going to be competitive.
You always forget about the Pacers.
The Bucks are going to be good. I mean, there's a bunch of them in the East.
Uh-huh.
The Heat
are pretty good. Wizards are interesting.
Yeah, they spent some money. So
they did.
It's one of those situations where the East, while not as in total strong, meaning the topmost team is not the strongest relative to the NBA,
yeah,
but relative to themselves, it's much more competitive and interesting.
I would agree with the second part of the statement. I would challenge the first part. Why can't the Celtics beat the Warriors for the championship?
You think that's happening?
Why can't we give them a puncher's chance?
They have
a great coach.
Maybe.
They got a great coach. They've got a point guard. Kyrie's right, who already beat them.
Gordon's back.
You've got Horford, who's smart, mm-hmm. a good passer. You've got Tatum. I mean, you've got some good young players. Jaylen Brown. Celtics are built to be a 7-game playoff kind of a team.
Yeah.
I wish they had one more sniper. Like, I wish they had one. Like, I wish they almost. I mean, he's on the Sixers. I wish the Sixers, because I don't think the Sixers.
Like a J.J. Redick type?
Yes. Yeah. I don't think that while the Sixers will be must-watch TV, mm-hmm. you know, with Fultz and with Simmons and with Embiid, I think they're below the Celtics. And I don't think they're ready to win a championship yet. I don't. I think it's premature.
They're going to start Fultz tonight?
Fultz is starting. Yeah.
It's interesting.
We'll get a look at that remade jump shot. Hopefully it works for the young man. He went through professional hell. I mean, that's tough. I mean, I know he's getting paid, but you don't want to see a young man just lose his confidence on that stage where he's afraid to take mm-hmm. a shot. And you don't wish that upon anybody. No, so hopefully I'm rooting for the young man. All right, let me tell everybody, and I know that you're with me on this, although I think that I say this with an ounce more conviction. I know you believe it, but I really believe this. Here's why the Lakers will not win a championship with LeBron James.
Okay, go ahead.
They'll win nothing. The way they're set up right now, right, they've got a bunch of one-year contracts, which was a smart decision just to kind of get them pointed in the right direction after 5-year playoff hiatus, right? So you bring in Pope, who's a good player, you know, mm-hmm. KCP. You got Rondo, you got Stevenson, you got Beasley, you got McGee, all one-year deals, right? So, and then, of course, LeBron and the young players of Ingram and Rondo and Kuzma. But the five...
You mean Lonzo.
What's that?
You said Rondo, you meant Lonzo.
Yes, good catch. Lonzo, Kuzma, and LeBron and Ingram, of mm-hmm. course. The 5 1-year players here, while it will accelerate their transition from, you know, a team that mm-hmm. did not matter at all to a team that
the bottom, now they're moving up.
Yeah, to a team that certainly is viable mm-hmm. in the NBA landscape. By the time they get cohesion, but by the time if they actually hit a great stride, now all those 1-year contracts expire. And now LeBron's a year older and Rondo's a year older and all these other guys are a year older, and now you've got to make a determination. You either let them go, which you're going to have to do if you want to bring in that real max type of player.
Whomever it is,
and we know who's out there, yep. possibly Durant, et cetera. Though I don't think Kevin's going to go play with LeBron. I've never thought that. And if you don't do that, now you're going back to the well with guys like Rondo, Pope, Stevenson, Beasley, McGee, trying to win a championship with a little more of a diminished LeBron James a year older.
Yeah.
They're not going to win a championship.
But the reason I leave a little bit of hope, not a ton, but a little bit. I'm still trending to zero like BT, but I'm an inch closer, I think, to one than you are, is because what happens if Kyle Kuzma just turns into a star? If he just turns into that guy that you're, man, where did he come from? Now, mm-hmm. we knew he was good. Mm-hmm. We knew he was getting better. He's dynamic. He's athletic. All those things that you need in the modern NBA, he can do.
What if he's a solid player?
What if it happens like tomorrow, he turns into the star?
It won't happen enough to beat the Warriors. They'll just man him up. Draymond will push him around.
Okay, but
mug him. It won't happen.
And then it coincides with Brandon Ingram also hitting his stride.
Did Ingram put on 30 pounds I didn't see?
No.
He weighs 170 pounds.
That's the problem. He's scary.
I mean, how do you get by the Warriors in a 7-game series? I love Ingram's upside. He could be special. He's not ready.
Yeah.
There's no microwave to win a championship. There could be a microwave
rebuild. That's why I get talked back to down to zero.
Because I think it's a logical stance.
Yeah.
They're not ready. I mean, look at the players. Again, I really do like Rondo. When Rondo's locked in, Rondo's a winner. And I believe McGee's got... This is not to disparage what they bring to the table. I mean, I'm talking about the championship table. Not that these guys don't enhance the bottom line. Of course they do. Lakers will win 10, 12 more games than they did a year ago. But they're not beating the Warriors if Boogie doesn't play a second this year.
Yeah,
if Boogie plays and plays well, they would get destroyed.
And here's the thing. We're talking about just them on the roster right now. Forget how they are coached and deployed and what's the rotation. I have no idea. I look at their roster and I'm like, how does this work? You know what I mean? When is JaVale McGee? When does he fit in here? Is he just a spot guy
He's going to be a second unit energy guy. That's what he should be.
Or a surprise start like he was with the Warriors last year a couple times
they used him.
Got into the postseason. Like,
maybe depends on the matchup. It depends on the matchup.
And then Rondo. Is Rondo supplanting Lonzo in the starting lineup? And if he does, what does that do to Lonzo's psyche? And more importantly, LeVar, his dad, once he start chirping?
Yeah.
Right? There's just so many question marks about this Lakers team. Compelling as its construction looks, I think it presents a lot of question marks that are not easy to answer for Luke Walton and the organization.
Teak, if Greg Popovich was coaching this team, I might feel a little differently, not in terms of championship, but maybe their ability to gain. Not that Luke Walton cannot become a great coach. Maybe he can, but that's juggling a lot of egos.
Oh, and most importantly, LeBron's.
And LeBron's. And we know it's a different set of rules. It's a different energy.
Yep.
It is what... In a lot of ways, it's easy to coach LeBron because he self-polices.
Yeah.
But it's so complex. It really is. And people who don't realize that by now just don't realize what LeBron brings. Listen, it's no accident that Chris Bosh and Kevin Love, every time somebody stops playing with LeBron, they kind of weigh in and say, it's not easy.
Exactly.
It's not easy.
It's not easy.
You know?
He's demanding.
And I didn't see any big-time free agents flock to L.A. this year. George could have gone there.
Yep.
They won't go.
You're right. Everybody knew LeBron was going there.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Why didn't anybody else?
Paul George said, no, I'm good. I'll stay in OKC. I'm good. I don't want to play. I'm fine. So, it's must-watch basketball. It's truly intriguing because I don't know what the old-school comparison is. Because, like, when Barkley went to the Rockets, he had Hakeem Olajuwon, who was the man. You know, when other players join different – first of all, there's nobody – I mean, outside of Jordan, nobody's been as good as LeBron in the history of the league. So there's never going to be an equal comparison. But even, like, another player – like, even when Dr. J went from the ABA to the Sixers and he had a little wear and tear. I had Moses Malone, had Andrew Toney, had Cunningham.
I mean,
he had this incredible, had a great coach. I mean, they had a lot. They had Mo Cheeks. LeBron is still human, and people forget that.
Mm-hmm.
He's a human being on a flawed roster in a loaded top-heavy conference with a dynasty and players in the middle of their prime.
Yep.
I mean, what happens if Anthony Davis gets dealt to the Timberwolves or to Portland,
yeah,
and suddenly it's McCollum.
Yep, they become,
or probably trade McCollum, or you keep Damian Lillard, and it's Lillard and Anthony Davis. You just don't know.
Yeah, you're right. It changes how you view L.A. in the hierarchy out west. It starts tonight though, 8 p.m. Philly at Boston, then 10:30 Oklahoma City at Golden State.
Let's go.
Yeah, this is gonna be this will be a fun one. Boston's the one I'm really looking forward to seeing because of the construction of that team now that Kyrie is healthy and Gordon Hayward is also back healthy.
Yes.
They could be explosively good.
They should be.
Yeah.
And I think, speaking of deploying people, I think Stevens will do that properly. My only concern, it's a small one. I want to see Tatum and Allen maintain their aggression and not just get lost in the shot selection because Hayward and Irving get theirs. They need to still assert themselves, and I think they will.
Yeah.
And if they do, they'll win 60 games and vie for a championship.
Plus, they kept their bulldog and Marcus Smart, too.
Love them. Third hour coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.